And welcome everyone to a brand new episode of the DKB here at WrestlingObserver.com and F4WOnline.com. I am, of course, as always, your host, Alan, and this week we are dusting off the I Was There When series. And I don't mind telling you guys, we have a very special episode of the I Was There When series today, because this is one we might not be able to replicate. I don't know if we'll ever have an episode like this again, where the two matches we are discussing are linked in a certain way that very much involves the person who will be discussing them. The person on the line with me right now is a man by the name of Daniel Maccabe. Is it Maccabe or Maccabe?
Because I go with Maccabe. I'm not even too positive of how our friend Togi Maccabe pronounces it. That's 100% where the name came from. There's a real dumb story for that. But
please tell us, and then we'll talk about why you're here and what matches we're going to talk about. Let's start with why you are Daniel Maccabe.
Yeah, so Daniel Maccabe came from when I was first breaking in. I got trained 14 years ago now, which seems crazy to me. But this was definitely before kind of the height of Japanese wrestling being a thing that people in the Western world watched. But me and my friends were real diehards.
So this and is the Shinya Maccabe days.
Oh, it was 100% Shinya Maccabe. It was Shinya Maccabe. Kind of getting like bumped up finally to being in the junior division, like teaming up with like Liger. I remember there was a Liger and Tanaka and Maccabe versus Osaka Pro six man tag.
That match rules.
That match does rule.
That's on the undercard of one of my favorite matches ever on that like December 2000.
The All Japan Osaka versus Nagata and Iizuka match. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. Anyways, so even though Maccabe was kind of getting a bit of a push, he still just had like the dinky little black tights and black boots. Like he still had the young boy look, even though he technically wasn't a young boy. And so when I was breaking in as a joke, I was trying to think of a name, and it was like, well, Shinya Maccabe is perpetually a young boy, and knowing my luck, like I'll never make it beyond the first match here in my like local indie wrestling scene, and no one here knows who Shinya Maccabe is. So I just took it as a joke for the last name, and the name stuck with me for 15 years. So
that is awesome. And some people might have seen your name pop up recently, because I think I've probably tipped things off as to one of the matches we'll be discussing, because a match with you and Timothy Thatcher got quite a bit of publicity online recently. It did the rounds. A lot of people watched it. I finally watched it this past week, and I was blown away by it. It was an incredible match, which we're going to talk a whole heck of a lot about. But the other match we're going to talk about this week is another Timothy Thatcher match. It's a match which I am very fond of, because I was also there when Timothy Thatcher wrestled Chris Hero in San Francisco, or I believe Santa Clara, California.
It was Santa Clarita, yeah.
Santa Clarita. Back in 2015, WrestleMania weekend. It's a match I probably talked about at the time. If I did, I can't even remember if I did like a Mania week wrap-up show or whatever at the time. I remember actually specifically doing a show with Jerome at PW Ponderings back after when I came home from that Mania weekend trip. And we were just raving about this match. It was certainly one of, if not the best matches of that whole trip. Even right up there with like Reigns versus Lesnar from Mania, which was an incredible match. And it was one of the best matches of the year. It was, I think, the match that kind of propelled Timothy Thatcher to another stratosphere as an indie wrestler. And it was a huge match for Hero, and a match Hero was very proud of. And it's a match we're going to talk about, because you were also there when Timothy Thatcher wrestled Chris Hero, Daniel. And maybe we'll start with that match and then transition into your match with Tim. Does that sound good?
That sounds awesome.
Okay, wonderful. So let's talk a bit about the match itself. Let's run down the match, and then we'll talk about the story which links that match to your match. So
yeah.
The match itself was at the WWN Super Show, on the final show that Gabe would have been putting on over the course of that Mania weekend. And for me, one of the things that really sticks out to this match is how it was built up over the week on all Gabe shows. There was subtle teases of a competitive feud burning between Hero and Thatcher. There was a shoulder bump from Thatcher to Hero the day before, I believe. And Hero had been plowing through guys. He destroyed Biff Busick in a really great match the day before. Thatcher had an incredible match with Tommy End. It really set it up where this was like on a weekend space of booking. This is one of the best things I've ever seen Gabe do. He really set up well. Hero was incredible, kind of stirring the pot, so to speak. And Thatcher was just, as he would do literally in the beginnings of the match, Thatcher was just stoic, not selling anything the Hero was throwing at him, and just being the perfect professional Timothy Thatcher that he is. So it was really well built up. It was obviously a match I had circled and one I was looking forward to making the trip over there to San Francisco. It was for sure a match that was high on the list of things I was most excited to see. But what was your perspective leading into the match, leading into your trip down to Santa Clara, and maybe just talk about your overall plans for that week?
So it definitely was like the match that I had circled on my itinerary for that weekend. It's funny because when WrestleMania was first announced to be in the Bay Area, San Jose, Santa Clarita, wherever, a big group of friends of mine, just to catch everyone up to speed, I live in Greater Vancouver, British Columbia. It's about 1,000 miles from the Bay Area. So we talked about like getting a big caravan and driving down and all going to all the WrestleMania festivities, et cetera, et cetera. But as things kind of loomed closer, no one really had the money or the desire to do it. And I remember that Mania specifically was one that people kind of were down on a lot of the booking and kind of the card going into it. And then it ended up being one of the best WrestleManias in recent memory. But that's a whole other story. So I'd kind of put off going to the Bay Area, and it wasn't until like a lot of things that I do, a lot of my life is motivated by music. In addition to wrestling, I play in multiple bands. I go see lots of gigs. There was a band from Sweden who were doing a West Coast American tour. The band's called McThaverscan. They actually just put out a new record 2 days ago. But and the closest they were coming to Vancouver was San Francisco. So I thought, okay, this is an excuse. I'll go see them in San Francisco. And then it kind of dawned on me, oh, hey, that's WrestleMania weekend. I could probably go see, you know, Ring of Honor or whatever kind of indies, like what's going on, and digging into what WWN had to offer. And it was like, oh, eyes wide open, Chris Hero versus Timothy Thatcher. Like, this is a match that I need to see. And, so I quickly made arrangements with some friends who live in the Bay Area to kind of bum around town with them, you know, with getting rides from them and staying on their couch. And I didn't even go to WrestleMania that year. I specifically went to see Chris Hero versus Timothy Thatcher when it comes to the wrestling end of my weekend.
So you weren't at any of the shows in that same venue leading up to that?
I went to Evolve the day before.
Okay, so that was that Thatcher versus Tommy?
That was Thatcher End, and that was Hero versus Busick.
Okay, so those are two really great matches to set up Hero versus Thatcher.
Absolutely, and it's funny. I just rewatched the Hero Thatcher match this morning, and they're talking about how Thatcher and End had such a great match, and how, you know, Dave Meltzer of this fine website was there in the flesh and said that, you know, it was the best match he saw all day, and that Thatcher was the best wrestler that he saw all day. And knowing what we know now with hindsight, I thought it was just kind of cute that he's talking, you know, the commentary is going over this as Hero and Thatcher proceeded to have the best match that happened in the Bay Area that weekend. So
Dave actually walked in during like the opening exchange of Thatcher versus Tommy. It was funny because Dave was walking in with Brian Alvarez, and the way this venue was set up, it was like this little, it was like a, would a field house be the right kind of term? It was, I don't know what
It's
you describe,
like a big gymnasium. I don't know. We
but it was
don't.
like on a hill, outdoors. There was no like front door. It was just all kind of wide open, and you just kind of walked in, and Dave and Brian were walking in through this kind of entrance area, and the guys at the door, like I was on the other side, but I saw them coming in. I was literally just opposite it, and they were talking back and forth, and I could just tell that Dave was doing what Dave would do, going into a show and saying, "Hi, I'm Dave Meltzer," and then just looking to walk straight in, which is completely reasonable in my book. He is Dave Meltzer.
Absolutely.
And Dave obviously has a relationship with Gabe. It's not going to be an issue or whatever, but these kids at the door, they obviously didn't really know what to do or whatever. And I saw Gabe hurdling rows of chairs and fans, leaping to the door, like probably shoving those guys out of the way, and just being like, "Dave," putting his arm around him, be like, come here, I'll take you," and bringing him down to a seat and putting him in a good seat and all that. It was the funniest thing I've ever seen.
That's
So,
hilarious.
Dave sits down, watches the match. I'm in my head, I'm like, "Oh, I'll go over and say hi to Dave and Brian after this match, before the next one starts." And the match was amazing, so I'm like freaking out. I'm like, if anyone who's ever been around me at a live show, they know when a good match happens, I'm just a big bundle of excitement. So this big bundle of excitement just rolls over to Dave and Brian, and I start talking to Brian first, and I'm like, "How good was that match? Oh my God, Brian! Ah!" And Brian, just typical Brian, is like, "Yeah, it's a good match. Yeah," just very low key about it all. And Dave starts making some point about it, and we just start talking. Like, there's no introduction or whatever, and we're just like talking back and forth about the match and how great it was, and how great Thatcher was, and how good the stuff looked. And then Dave just goes, "Oh my God, are you Alan?" And I was like, "Yes!" It was my first time meeting Dave, so it was I went on to have many great more great chats with him over the course of that weekend. But that was my intro to meeting Dave Meltzer, which I'll just throw in as a little bonus story here. But yeah, it was good to have. It's always good to have the luminaries of the wrestling world around for these kind of matches at Mania weekend. And it's always, I don't know, for me it gives it a little extra bit of excitement when there's like a really great match, and you can look around and see, oh, there's like John Pollock or Wei Ting from The Law, there's Dave Meltzer, there's whoever else. And it's just like, because you know the great match you just saw is going to get that extra little bit of publicity that it probably normally wouldn't get if it was just happening on a regular Evolve show.
Absolutely. Kind of tying to that, not necessarily the same kind of noteworthiness, but for the Hero Thatcher match, I must have had, there was a contingent probably 20 large of like the Sacramento independent scene, basically, who all are very well connected to Thatcher, who were sitting directly behind me for that match.
Oh, because there
So
was the APW
the King of the
tournament thing, the
Indies
King of the
thing,
Indies thing was
yeah.
happening, yeah.
So I know there's one of the kind of the narratives of the match is there's like the diehard British fans who are cheering on Thatcher on one side of the ring, but I was in the pocket of all the NorCal fans who were cheering on Thatcher on the other side of the ring, and honestly, the one thing that I that stands out the most besides the in-ring work, which is amazing, but the opening moments of the dueling crowd
Yep.
for Hero Thatcher is really what makes it stand out.
And when you rewatched this morning, because for me, I remembered, this is the thing, whenever I've told people about this match, I'd always be like, before the bell even rings, it's goosebumps on your arms. It's crazy stuff. But when I rewatched it this morning, I had forgotten just how crazy that was. And I was watching it with my girlfriend, and we were both at the Evolve shows this past Mania, and we're like, Jesus Christ, this blows away the atmosphere at any of the shows from this year. It was amazing. And just the Let's Go Hero, Let's Go Thatcher nonstop as Hero riles everyone up and gets everyone standing. And Thatcher, as I said earlier, Thatcher just does not respond. Like, he didn't respond to Hero sort of getting in his face earlier in the weekend. Thatcher just stays standing still, eyes locked on Hero from the middle of the ring the whole time as Hero goes all the way around the building, just geeing up the fans and just trying to create as much noise as possible. And Thatcher is just laser focused the whole time.
Absolutely. In my mind, it's funny, how we remember things isn't necessarily how things actually occurred. That dueling chant lasted 10 minutes. And upon rewatching it this morning, it was legitimately 2.5 minutes between the introductions and the bell actually ringing, which obviously isn't 10 minutes, but is a really long time for the fans to be sustaining a chant of, let's go Thatcher, let's go Hero, and loudly, no less.
And there was the moment where you start hearing a drum beat during the chant. That was MLJ of CCW, who was smashing his hand, I think, against the lid of a garbage can. He found an instrument, as he told me later that day when we were talking about it. So that was the drum beat that you start hearing in the middle of the chanting. And it was intense. It was really intense, and there had been other matches in that venue during the course of that weekend that had good atmospheres, but nothing like this. This was it all built to this, and this was holy shit. This just feels like an epic match and a special moment. And at that point, before the bell rang, were you glad you had made the trip?
Without a question. I almost lost my voice before that match even started. I 100% did lose my voice by the time the match was over. It was, as we'll get to later in the connection that it kind of created, it's one of the highlights of, it still goes down as the greatest atmosphere for a pro wrestling show I've ever been to. And I've been to my share of shows, so.
So the match starts off and it's a lot of Hero. I think Hero took this atmosphere and took the huge contingent of support for Thatcher as an opportunity to be as different to Timothy Thatcher as he possibly could be. So he went full on with the cocky swagger, I don't think my shit stinks version of Chris Hero as he could. And he was talking smack. He was taunting Thatcher. He was taunting fans who were cheering Thatcher, and he was just being quite disrespectful in his offense. Like he'd get Thatcher down and he'd kind of like slap him around a little bit. He'd back away as if he wasn't worried. Just little things like that. How great of a job did Hero do being that black light to Thatcher's white light, so to speak?
He's amazing. He is where he is now because of how good he was during this run. There's the opening kind of like 8 or 9 minutes is a lot of just kind of exchanging holds and going kind of tit for tat on the mat, which I love that stuff. But Hero, you're like you say, where Thatcher's kind of wrestling a real clean, scientific match, whenever Hero is getting the advantage on the mat, because they're going 50-50 to start. He's got him in a head scissors and he's saying, how's the neck feeling, Thatcher? And he's grinding in a little bit,
I did
harder.
love when he did that, the Thatcher responded by doing a neck bridge while having his head between Hero's legs.
That's an awesome sequence. Hero's so smart. He knows what he's doing, and he had us all in the palm of his hands. And for someone to take something that for a lot of people would be a real dry segment of a match, not for the parties included in this conversation, and to really kind of spice it up and add a little more kind of character and flair to it, that's just the work of a master is what it is.
And what about Thatcher in response? He didn't have to do much. because like it's literally just standing there doing nothing. But there's an art standing there doing nothing and responding to the guy who's a hero's doing all the in your face kind of stuff, but Thatcher, he's just subtly showing that it doesn't bother him, but at the same time keeping full on intensity. And I think what Thatcher did here is something that may look like anyone can do, but very few people I think could do credibly.
As we will go into later, I like to think that it takes two to tango, and Thatcher is definitely the you know, he's not as big here as he would go on to become, and he's not as big of a presence as he would go on to become. This is definitely him at his like his most kind of subdued baby face, just kind of, you know, here for the fight, but he's along for the ride the entire time. You know, he's playing his part perfectly. He's standing in there. He's not backing down.
He never takes a step backwards at any point in the match. He's always moving forward or always standing his ground. There's never a moment he takes a step backwards. Whereas Hero, at many times during the match, even stretches in the match where Hero was like dominant, if it went slightly out of his control, Thatcher reversed something on him, whatever, Hero is immediately rolling out of the ring, bailing, walking away. It's complete opposite. Thatcher always standing his ground or moving forward. Hero often moving back, moving out of the ring. Stuff like that is just so important in just setting the stage of a match.
Absolutely. I was just about to bring up Hero's usage of powdering out and taking a breather, but then kind of plays a bit of a game of cat and mouse with Thatcher, and that kind of turns things up into a big kind of control segment for Hero, where he kind of slides out, and finally Thatcher's, you know, had enough of this guy, you know, getting out of his holds and he kind of using the conveniences of the rules to work for himself. And Thatcher chases out after him, and Hero is quickly to slide in and then immediately slide back out and boot him right in the face. Which is just so like so quick and so sneaky. And then it kind of leads into like the second third of the match, which is a lot of Hero just kicking the piss out of him.
And the way Thatcher would react to those strikes from Hero, there was one cyclone kick from Hero where Thatcher just, upon impact, his body went, like rigor mortis set in, and he just fell like a tree. And his eyes rolled into the back of his head. It was like one of the best reactions to getting hit in a wrestling match I've ever seen. And he has it again later with, I think, an elbow, one of the big elbows kind of come right at the end of the match. The way he made Hero's strikes look, and Hero's strikes looked so vicious for such a long run, and still do, obviously, at this stage of his career, but I don't think anyone made them look as good as Timothy Thatcher did in this match.
I mean, I'll go on a point right now. It's going to come out at some point. I don't think there is a pro wrestler out there that makes this stuff look more real than Timothy Thatcher. And in the world, anywhere in the world, that's my personal opinion. And he can go from, you know, being just kind of really in there in the hunt to, yeah, like Hero lights him up with those strikes, and he, you know, he's like, whoa, eyes wide open and body stiff. But when it comes time to fire up, you know, he finds that great balance. There's one of my favorite sequences in the match is Thatcher's kind of firing up, and he backs Hero into the corner, and he charges in, and he must get hit with six or seven boots in a row. And he finds just the perfect balance of kind of that Thatcher stiff sell, but still remaining fired up enough to fire right back in on Hero and eats another boot and oh, that got me, but no, I'm back in there. Until finally, I think that actually kind of leads right into the finish, which I might be jumping the gun a little bit, but as always, big surprise, Timothy Thatcher's selling is on point in this match.
Another thing which really, this is honestly one of the things I think about most when I think about this match. I was watching some of the, what was the show that night I went to? I think it was like the WrestleCon Super Show, and I was watching some of that with Hiro, and we were talking about the Thatcher match, and the thing, I literally slapped him on the chest with excitement. I was like, dude, that senton! And he immediately smiled, knowing exactly what I was talking about. Because there was a couple of sentons he did in the match, maybe two or three, I don't know. But there was,
I think there's only one, actually.
Oh, was it just the one? Okay.
I think it's just the one.
Well, and he could have done 100 sentons in this match. There would have been one that stood out, because it was one of the greatest sentons in pro wrestling history, as Timothy Thatcher was in Enoki Ali mode of, on his back, doing the, is it the crab walk, you'd call it, or in the guard position.
The butt scoot.
Butt scoot, and he was kicking those legs up, which is like, for anyone, I don't know if anyone ever had, or if anyone listening has a younger sister that they ever like got into like fights with, that was the younger sister defense mechanism. I can speak from experience as a child, and those up kicks, they hurt. I had my shins kicked with those up kicks many a time, but Thatcher was throwing these at Hiro. And Hiro just took a step back, and then he launched himself at an angle. He had to turn in midair, and he landed perfectly with a senton right across the ribs of Tim, who, I don't know if that was something they thought about beforehand, and Hiro said, hey, go from like the guard, and I'll just hit you with a senton. Or if this was just something organic that Thatcher was like, you know, fuck it, I'm getting my ass kicked in this match. If this was a real fight, I'd probably just do this now. And then Hiro thought, hey, you're doing this now? Well, if you're doing this now, this is what I'd probably do now. And drops a senton on him. And it was amazing. It looked
knowing
so good.
Knowing what I know about those two, I would put money on it being organic. And it's hilarious, because if you're thinking in the context of more of a for lack of a better word, real professional wrestling match where the sense of realism is dialed up and you're not seeing a lot of, you know, traditional kind of high spots, you know, you wouldn't necessarily think, oh yeah, okay, if this guy is, you know, in more of a traditional MMA style posture and he's, you know, he's butt scooting and he's trying to throw those up kicks, the guy on top position, you know, he might try to pass guard or he might try to rain down some punches from there, but no one's going to senton over a guy's guard. But sure enough, Hiro manages to take, you know, an element of pro wrestling and work it into a manner that seems completely legitimate and was one of the meanest sentons I've ever seen in my life. So,
you outlined the finish, or at least the lead into the finish there a minute ago, and it really, they saw that the Thatcher was done. He had been hit with the knockout blow, and Hiro went in for the pin, and I, in the crowd, and everyone around me, 1,000% believed this was it. It was done. Thatcher had fought so valiantly, and the way he sold the final elbow was like, yeah, it's over. Okay, Hiro going in for the pin here. And Thatcher, like, honest to God, Tim Thatcher, between this and the final of World Tag Team League, might have the two best near falls I've ever seen in my life, in that he was on the receiving end of the two best near falls, because just like last weekend, or 2 weeks ago, when I thought it was over at Tag League, and he just pops out and shocked the crowd, he popped out and shocked the crowd here by turning this pinfall into a Fujiwara armbar, and he did it so organically. When you watch it back and know that it's going to happen, you can kind of see, okay, he's done a little bit of repositioning here to set up this Fujiwara, but it didn't look like, oh, you, do you know the way sometimes you'll see guys, Kyle O'Reilly and Davey Richards kind of did this a little bit, where they'd go for a pin in a way that they'd never go for a pin because they were going to do the spot where the guy kicks out and they go into a submission. It didn't look like that at all. It looked like Thatcher was sort of regaining his senses on the mat during the pin and maneuvered himself in a way where he could defensively catch Hiro, and it looked legitimate. But live, you don't notice it at all. It happened so subtly and so quickly that it just caught everyone off guard. Fujiwara armbar, Hiro immediately taps. Referee Brandon Tully does one of the best sells of a finish to a match I've ever seen. Ringing for the bell, like he hops up facing the hard cam, ringing the bell. It's so great, and the crowd goes berserk. What are your memories of this finish, Daniel?
So I got a few points here. I might go on a bit of a rant for lack of a better word. So kind of a lot of this is, like I said, memory versus reality. I remembered Hiro hitting him with like a million roaring elbows. And in my brain, it's very obvious. The story of this match is Hiro's going to try and knock him out. He's going to hit that roaring elbow. Thatcher's going to try and get him in the Fujiwara. The one thing I love about this match upon rewatching it is neither guy prostitutes their finish whatsoever. A lot of the times, especially in modern wrestling, if guys are saying, okay, this is the story that we're telling, we're going to have, you know, my move versus your move, there'll be a million teases, there'll be a million, you know, they might even use them as false finishes or, you know, multiple false finishes. These two guys, what they do is so smart and is so, you know, they kind of lay back at the same time that they're telling the story. Thatcher only gets the armbar once. It's on the floor, and Hiro kind of manages to sneak back into the ring, and that's it as far as the Fujiwara goes until the finish. Hiro spends, like I said, the second third of the match just battering Thatcher, but for the most part, it's all kicks, some forearms, but not a single roaring elbow until we get right to the finish. Hiro hits him with, I believe, three. And one of the subtle things I love is Thatcher is in the ropes for the first three that Hiro hits, and he's literally using the ropes to keep himself up. If those ropes were not there, we probably would not have the finish that we have, because Thatcher's not able to stay on his feet. But so he hits him with three. Hiro pulls off the elbow sleeve, hits him with the fourth one, and we get this, like you said, amazing near fall. The one point that I'm going to contradict you with is, as someone who's been working as long as I have, and as someone who, you know, specifically works on kind of my technical game, that's kind of that's the style of wrestling that I prefer to do. I saw Thatcher's armbar coming. I saw him jockey for position. Like you said, though, it did look organic. It didn't look like, hey, this is not something a guy would ever do. He's obviously going for the armbar. In my brain, it was, he's working like you would in a shoot setting to get out of this pinfall and go for that armbar. And the second that I saw him, it's getting an underhook on one side of side control like you would in MMA or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. And as soon as I saw him get that underhook, I grabbed my friend who was sitting next to me, and I was like, here it comes. And when he kicks out and transitions to that Fujiwara armbar, I jumped to my feet, and we were screaming. And like you said, it was maybe 3 or 4 seconds before it was, you know, Hiro was like, ah, he realizes he's done. You know, Thatcher turns him away from the ropes like you should, and I went completely mental. If I hadn't lost my voice by that point, I 100% lost my voice then. So those memories are very clear in my head of kind of my lasting impressions from this match, is that kick out, that armbar, and me. Honestly, I almost shed a tear. I was so excited. Like, you know, very rarely, you know, you become very jaded when you go see a lot of pro wrestling matches, or when you wrestle a lot of pro wrestling matches. But for a match to kind of capture my attention and my emotions, like I said, it's the greatest pro wrestling experience I've ever been witness to.
What side of the ring were you on? Do you remember?
I am on the entrance side, so you can actually see me jump up like an idiot after the finish. I'm right on the hard camera, unfortunately.
Okay. We're opposite then. I was over on the other end of the ring, and I remember my section. There was chairs flying, people jumping up, high-fiving, hugging. It was my section was very, like, there was, I would say it was like, as you said, there was like the NorCal contingent behind Thatcher, there was the British contingent behind Thatcher, and then there was like an equal amount of each of those sections behind Hero. So it was a very split crowd, but I think every part of the crowd reacted to Thatcher winning in a positive sense because it was such a cool moment and so well done. So it was just brilliant. And I gotta give credit before we stop talking about this to Lenny Leonard, who on rewatch, this is one of the best commentary performances I've seen from Lenny, and he's had many great ones, but he was spectacular here on the call by himself and did a really great job.
Absolutely. And one thing that they did that I feel like not a lot of wrestling promotions do. I mean, the WWE does it all the time because they want you to see the universe and how into things they are. But there is, after he gets that armbar and the entire place comes to their feet and celebrating in various manners and probably various levels of appropriateness. I definitely was high-fiving strangers, though, like you said. One of the roaming camera on the floor pans and basically walks around ringside and everyone is on their feet. People who were cheering for Thatcher, people who were cheering for Hero, they're all applauding the effort and just how amazing of a story these guys told. And regardless of how they felt, you know, before or during the match, everyone, I think, was excited that Thatcher won and that that was the story that they chose to tell.
All right. So, Daniel, that was Hero versus Thatcher. The other match we're going to talk about today is Thatcher versus you. So
yes.
Let the people know how these matches tied in together, how your match with Timothy Thatcher came about.
Sure. So just to quickly wrap up my experience in the Bay Area of California that weekend. After that show was over, because that wasn't even the main event, is the craziest thing.
I have literally no memories. I know what it was. I vaguely know who was in it, but I have no memories.
It's Ricochet and UHA Nation versus
Roddy and Aries, wasn't it?
Exactly, yeah. And they had a good match, but it couldn't touch that match.
I remember. I think I just sat in my chair the whole time watching it and just being like, "I'm enjoying this. This is a good professional wrestling match. I'm very relaxed. This is enjoyable." But I was so, like, I was emotionally spent after the Hero battle. It was like, I had no more emotions to give to whatever else was going to happen in front of me, at least for a couple hours. I think over the course of a Mania weekend, when you go to, like, 20 shows, you need, like, special powers of just regeneration of excitement levels. But, yeah, they can shut down for an hour or two, but you need to kind of bring them back up, or you're just not going to survive a Mania.
You need to recharge the batteries, and unfortunately there's some matches that are going to suffer for that when you're in the process of doing so. I did not need to recharge my batteries, however, because I didn't go to any more wrestling shows that weekend. So I, after the show was over, I kind of finagled my way into the backstage, although the locker room was literally, they just changed outside the building because...
Oh, yes. Yeah. On that hill that I talked about.
On that weird hill, yeah, you're quite right. So I kind of went around back specifically. I did go up to Hero after the show and told him that I thought the match was great when he was selling merchandise. But the man that I wanted to meet was Timothy Thatcher. And as humble as he ever is, you know, I went up to him and I told him that I wasn't going to WrestleMania. I wasn't going to Ring of Honor or the High Spot show or anything else. That was literally the climax of my weekend as far as wrestling is concerned. That was my WrestleMania, and that was the greatest pro wrestling match I'd ever seen in my life. And that I was going into San Francisco to see the gig that I had mentioned previously, and then I was flying home. And among talking with talking to him, he asked me where I was from, and I told him I was from Canada, and he said, "Oh, Canada, there's the Battle Arts Academy in Canada," which admittedly is completely on the opposite side of the country. It's probably 4,000 miles away. But I mentioned to him, I said, "Oh, yeah, Yuki Ishikawa from Battle Arts is in Ontario somehow and training with Santino Marella, of all people." And that caught him quite off guard. He didn't realize that. And he kind of raised his eyebrows and went, "Oh, okay, that's interesting. That's good to know." And I thanked him, and we got a picture together. And then I got my rental car, and I drove into San Francisco, went to my gig, and then I drove straight to the airport, and I flew home. So fast forward to 2 years later, I am a local independent pro wrestler in the Pacific Northwest area, predominantly in Seattle, Washington, for a group called 321 Battle. We, in the last year and a half, we've been building up our following enough to the point that we can start bringing in some fly-in talent and actually turning a profit on it, unlike so many indies nowadays. We had booked Jeff Cobb a few times. And so after one of the recent Jeff Cobb bookings, I went to our booker and I said, hey, you know, who probably has Timothy Thatcher's contact is Jeff Cobb. Just kind of just throwing it out there, just like, you know, like this would be just a dream come true for me. And the one thing with living on the West Coast is there's not a ton of abundance of kind of noteworthy fly-in talent on the West Coast of America. A lot of it is East Coast centric. A lot of it's in Florida nowadays. But Thatcher is still one of the remaining kind of stalwarts on the West Coast. So we're always looking for new talent to bring in to help pop a house. Thatcher's a name. And like I said, he's a dream opponent for me. But I'm not expecting my booker to actually go through with this. And 3 weeks later, I get a private message from him saying, July, you versus Timothy Thatcher. It's all booked. It's happening. So...
Locked in. And
well, welcome to the worst 3 months of my life training cardio to be able to go toe to toe with Timothy Thatcher.
Now, you mentioned to me about your interactions with Thatcher and his memory. So it came back to him that you were the guy that had recommended him or that had mentioned him about Yuki Ishikawa training with Santino.
And I was honestly shocked. He came in the day before and he did a seminar for our local students. And I came down from Canada, where I live in the greater Vancouver area. It's about 130 miles from Seattle. I came down because I figured, you know, I'm going to learn so much from this guy in the ring. But if I can learn from him from the seminar the night before, then I might as well take that opportunity. And We're both punk rock guys. He's wearing the shirt of a festival in Blackpool, England. They do every year that I've actually been around because I have friends in the north of England as well. And so we're talking about punk rock stuff. And you know, there's a venue above where we wrestle, so there's bands playing, and he's really digging the atmosphere. And we're talking about bands we like, and a lot of my merchandise is kind of centric around music. A lot of my aesthetic in general is very much inspired by music. And just out of the blue, he goes, hey, you seem really familiar. Are you the guy who told me that Yuki Ishikawa is training in Canada? And I went, yeah, that was me. We've definitely met before. And I kind of recalled the whole hero match story and the fact that, you know, that was kind of the apex of that weekend for me, and how, and the one thing he got a kick out of it is that, you know, after that match is over, I left to go see a band play, and he was very much like, yep, no, that's cool, you made the right decision. Like, I would have gone and seen the band that I like to play too. Like,
he is so cool. Like, I met him for the first time at the New Orleans Mania. And that was on a college campus, the Evolve show.
I remember you doing an interview with him for the show, actually.
Yeah. So I walked out going to get some food after there was like an afternoon show. It was, I think it might have been that year's WWN Super Show, but it was just much smaller scale than what it has become in later years. It was just like an afternoon show that there was like the lowest attendance of all their shows they did. They had a few, like, they had some different sort of weird matches on there. It wasn't a big marquee show. And after that, I went there on my own, and the people who I was at Mania Weekend with, they were all going to be joining later for the evening show. And so I wandered out, and I was like, okay, let's see if there's anywhere to get food on this campus. And I was walking around and I saw Timothy Thatcher on his own looking just very lost. And I just said, hey, he had wrestled on that show against, I think it was against Gulak.
It was Gulak. It was a very good match.
A rounds match. Yeah, it was really, really good. And I complimented on the match, and he was typical Timothy Thatcher, so polite and respectful and modest and grateful for the compliment, and like legitimately so. And I was like, oh, what a nice guy. And I mentioned that I was on my way just trying to find some food, and he was like, oh yeah, no, I'm trying to do the same myself, and do you have any idea what's around? And I was like, I have no idea, but let's go see if we can find something. And as we're moving, I mentioned to him that I just, if it would be possible to just record, because I was recording stuff with anyone I could over that week just to have stuff for the show. And I was like, would I be able to get some thoughts from you just about your match, just whatever? And so he literally said, oh yeah, for sure, and pointed a bench, and just sat down on a bench and just chatted for a few minutes, as you heard on the show. And then went off and found food, and he found Drew Gulak, and Drew Gulak brought him up, but to, they started playing a piano together in the place where we were getting food. And I was like, huh, that's hilarious. And yeah, I met some people I knew from Germany, and we started having food, and so kind of just splintered off like at that point, and didn't see him again. It was like probably like 20 minutes total I was in his company, and didn't see him again or have any communication with him again until the following year, 16 Carat, which was a full year later. So I'm in the turbine hala talking to whoever, and I see Thatcher come in, and I'm like 100%. I have people in, I'm not going to name names, but there's people at WXW that literally introduce themselves to me and say, hi, I'm, and give me their name. They've done it about 10 times now. They've no idea who I like, that I've met them so many times. I'm like, yeah, we've done this before. But yeah. So like, I kind of expect that with most people in wrestling, that they're, yeah, you've met them, but they're,
well, memory. And a lot of wrestlers meet a lot of people, you know, in various scenarios, right? I definitely, I was just saying, I err on the side of caution, because I'm definitely of the opinion that people are probably not going to remember who I am, but usually I'm, you know, I'm led to believe that that's not the case, but still, I get that perspective, so.
Yeah, so like, I'm just assuming that he's not going to have any memory of who I am from the 20 minutes we spent together in New Orleans. Not only does he remember, but his eyes immediately light up, and he's like, hi, Alan, good to see you, sir. How are you? And I'm like, what? Holy shit.
That was a spot-on Thatcher impression, I'll have to say, too.
And literally every time I've met him since now, like, he knows my girlfriend, he remembers her name, he'll always tip his hat to her if he's wearing a hat. I'll go and I'll want to just start talking to him about some match he's just had, or this thing or that thing that he's done, but he never lets me get to it. He always, how are you, how's life? And I'm just like, it just gets me talk, like, this year, Karen, I was just start talking to Timothy Thatcher about the house I just bought, and moving house, and trying to buy lights, and this, that, and the other. And it's, he's such a pleasant guy, and he just, like, he legitimately cares as he's talking to you, and is interested in what you're saying. And I can count on one hand the amount of people have been around in my life who are just as genuinely pleasant as Thatcher is. So that's a ridiculous aside of just how nice of a guy he is, as if people weren't already aware. So yeah, that's we completely went off track with that.
That's, but quite all right. It's kind of Timothy Thatcher appreciation week on the DKP, so
it certainly is. He is a great man that is worthy of it. So let's get into your match here with Tim. You mentioned that you had to do a grueling amount of prep to get ready, to get in shape for this match. Talk a bit about your training, your preparation, maybe tape you watched, anything you did just in advance of this match.
So I got a couple funny stories. So So I broke my foot in a match right around a year before the Thatcher match. And so I was off for a good 3-4 months. And as one does, you know, cardio is laid to waste, put on a bunch of extra weight. And so the moment that I knew that the Thatcher match was going to be a thing, I changed my diet around. I added in a regimen of the real kind of old fashioned pro wrestler workout, the deck of cards workout. I think it was I know of it as a destroyer thing. I think he used to do a Jumbo Tsuruta in the '70s, but I think lots of pro wrestlers would probably claim that they were the origin of the deck of cards. But so the deck of cards 4 or 5 days a week, and I lost like 15-20 pounds just in training for the Thatcher match, and gained a whole ton of cardio, which I 100% needed. Additionally, I did not want to find myself in any kind of uncompromising positions that I was not going to be able to work myself out of, because as much as this is, two guys working together, I mean, he's as real gets. And if you can't fight your way out of a position, your day is going to be long. So I'm lucky enough to have a friend of mine who is an assistant coach at AMC Pancration in Kirkland, Washington, which is Matt Hume's gym, also home of UFC flyweight champion Demetrius Johnson. And so I was lucky enough to go down on occasion a couple weeks out to train with those guys there and work on some positions in my jiu-jitsu game that if the situation were to arise and I would need to fight myself out of a bad situation like it were real, I would be able to do so. And the real funny thing that happened was, you know, I'm there and Demetrius is training that day, and he is the nicest guy on earth, not to get too far off. But at the end of the day, they always take a big kind of group gym selfie of everyone who was in the gym and put in the hours and worked really hard. And they've got a big old like Pride Bushido ring canvas from back in the day that's on the wall. They always take the picture in front of that. And when it comes time for them to take the picture, I kind of get out of the way because it's like, well, you know, I'm training for a pro wrestling match. I'm not really doing the hardcore sparring these guys are doing. They're putting in the crazy hours and crazy dieting and whatever. Demetrius Johnson, Matt Hume couldn't be the nicer guys. They say, no, you put in the hours today. You train too. Come get in here. And within an hour, it was on DJ's Instagram account with like 50,000 likes. And I'm sending it to everyone saying, you know, look for the guy who does not belong in this picture, because that's me standing in the corner, among all these legitimate martial artists, but trying to do what I can to make sure that I was prepared.
Sorry, left myself on mute there. What would you say were some of the, from training with guys like Demetrius Johnson and everyone he had in his camp there, and I'll ask about Matt Hume in particular because I'm very curious about him for a lot of reasons in a sec, but what would you say was, in terms of what you do in a professional wrestling ring, what was something you took from that you would have never either thought of before or never implemented before? Just something like even a real little thing that gave you.
I mean, I was specifically rolling positions that I felt might come up in the context of just organically would come up in the context of the style of match I assumed was gonna occur. Those guys are all incredibly nice, despite what anyone may say, about some of them. They're all very professional. They all work very hard, but they're incredibly generous. The fact that, you know, they do not normally have drop-in time. Like if you're just kind of, oh, I want to maybe drop in for a class here or there, they normally discourage that. But they're all big pro wrestling fans. Matt Hume has come to 3-2-1 battle shows. And
awesome.
One of the guys, my friend who's an assistant coach there is one of the workers on the 3-2-1 shows. And yeah, the fact that, you know, he said to him, you know, this is a this is a big match for my friend, and it's the kind of style that would be familiar to you, Matt, that you would enjoy. And Matt just said, say no more. Daniel's nice people. Opens up the doors to come and train in their facilities. So,
did you find that Matt Hume, from what you could like tell from the time you spent around him, did you find him to be a kind of a quirky individual? He's always struck me as someone who a very analytical, somebody who thinks about mixed martial arts and grappling and fighting really just in a way that very few think about.
Yeah. I mean, I've been around Matt a few times, a handful of times for sure. He's quiet for the most part. I think when he's kind of in the thick of things, that's when he kind of really unfurls his inner self. But Matt's awesome. He's very analytical and just super generous. Like, honestly, I mean, I'll tell you a story off air, but incredibly generous human being and just super nice and just smart. Just knows the ins and outs of things.
So getting back to the match, your preparation obviously paid off in the sense of Thatcher certainly made you work for your getting to spend the time in the ring with him. I suppose to have the honor of being in the ring with him, it didn't come easy. That cardio paid off. I think if you hadn't done it, you'd have really been screwed, because it was a lengthy match, a grueling match, and a high intensity match. And honestly, like, this is for being a smaller show, there was no step back in performance from Thatcher versus anything I've seen him do, be it the hero match we talked about earlier, be it anything I've seen him do in WXW. He was full on intense from the start, and I suppose if you were wanting to wrestle Timothy Thatcher, you would have wanted to wrestle the best version of Timothy Thatcher. And how happy were you to have got that? But at the same time, I'd say there were some points in the match where you probably would have liked if he was coasting it a bit more.
You know what? Honestly, I wanted the experience that I got. It was certainly the most draining experience of my life. I had multiple people come up to me afterwards saying, I've never seen a match where people don't lose contact with one another for, you know, I think there's only two or three breaks in the match. For the most part, we're kind of connected. And when that's the case, you know, you're working, right? And he made me work, and I'm glad that that's what he did, because like you said, he didn't have to do that. We are a small promotion. We're a blip on the map. We run every other Friday night, and we draw kind of our core audience of 200 to 300 people, which is, I mean, that's a success, you know, in a lot of places. It's a success for us, but who are we in the grand scheme of things? It's not like anyone predicted that this match would catch any kind of traction online, and people would be watching Timothy Thatcher wrestle some random guy from the Northwest. But he put in the work, and he was a pleasure to work with. Putting the match together was a dream, and I think he was happy with how it came out, and I know I was very happy with how it came out. So,
what are some of your memories of the match itself, moments that stick out during the course of it that maybe were, I don't know what the word would be, maybe funny during the course of the match, where it was like, okay, this is kind of surreal that this thing is happening right now with Thatcher? Or was it just a case of where there was none of that really, and it was just you seriously had to be full on intensity and have your guard up, so to speak, for the whole match?
I've told a couple people this. It was the easiest pro wrestling match that I've ever had in my life, and it was the hardest pro wrestling match that I've ever had in my life, because a lot of times you get in there with guys who want to plan a ton of high spots to peel back the curtain. I don't know if I should be doing this, but alas, we're in 2017. You know, different guys work different styles, put matches together in different manners. It was the easiest thing to put together. We literally didn't say a single word to one another the entire time we were in the ring together. That was just reacting and acting. And I did not have an opportunity to ever step back and go, hey, this is pretty wild, I'm having this match, because it was the closest thing to being in a fight that I've ever been in my life. In the context of a pro wrestling match, it was, this guy's coming at me and what am I going to do? Because that's how we chose to go about telling the story. It was acting and reacting, and it was fight or flight, basically.
Was there anything he did that surprised you? Like, whoa, I didn't see that coming.
No, I knew that he was going to hit hard, and I hit him hard back. So, it's not like I studied hours of tape, but as we can tell, we've been here long enough. I am genuinely a fan. And so I kind of knew, I knew from afar what was coming. I didn't necessarily know what it was going to feel like when it came,
when you're in there with a guy like Thatcher, and he's going to make it look legit. And as you said, you're going to feel like you've been in a fight, so to speak, you're in there with Timothy Thatcher. Is it the strikes, or is it the holds, or is it just the general maneuvering of your body around the ring that is the, I don't want to say like the sorest, but the most impactful, the most jarring to you when you're wrestling a guy like Thatcher?
It's honestly, everything is just, it's just feeling drained. You know, I've been doing this long enough that I don't necessarily get sore, you know, or you certainly don't get hurt unless something goes awry. I think I drank 4 bottles of water when the match was over. I've never felt more drained. I probably lost 10 pounds in that match. I've never had to work so hard. And I'm glad that I put in the work beforehand, because there was a moment kind of as things were kind of coming to an end that I thought, holy man, this has been hard. And I have never been more exhausted in my life, but like, you kind of see the light at the end of the tunnel, and you know, you gotta keep putting the work in until it's all said and done.
Now, I've purposely not mentioned how the match ends or the finish. Do you want to leave that off the table and because a lot of people will check this out, will tell everyone how to watch it. We leave that off the table for now, or do you want to give people a warning that we're about to talk about that?
Are we talking about the finish itself or the post-match?
The finish itself. We'll talk about the post-match for sure, but the finish itself,
let's leave it as a surprise. Sure. Hopefully people come and check out the match. If you don't, I get it. But if you do, I would sincerely appreciate it. So,
I will say this: the finish is awesome. The whole thing comes together really, really well, and it leaves you with a very satisfied feeling watching the match. And I'll say from my perspective, I talked about this on Twitter. I watched it. You can know that this match was watched by me, Daniel, at a very happy moment in my life. When we had a hurricane here in Ireland, a weather event which we do not normally get.
I was going to say,
get extreme.
You don't get
events.
Hurricanes in Ireland, do you?
No. This was Hurricane Ophelia. It was quite the deal this past Monday. But we were sent home from work. We booted out of the office at like 11 a.m. And I had gotten in. I had an appointment that morning with the doctor, and I'd got to work at 10 a.m., so like an hour later than normal. And then my computer wasn't working, so IT were trying to fix my computer. Computer got working at 10:30, and then I had 30 minutes of kind of just like waiting to be told, because we knew it was like, we're clearly not staying in work here. And then at 11, everyone was like, all right, let's just wrap up now. And so I got to go home on a Monday and chill out and watch wrestling for the afternoon. I was so happy. And one of the first things I put on, in fact, I think it was the first thing I put on, was your match with Thatcher, because I had it on my YouTube watch later list, which is, for anyone else who utilizes the YouTube watch later list, I'm sure you're like me, where it just becomes this giant backlog of things you clicked. You're like, oh, I want to watch that. And then you're like, God damn, I need to go back and watch these things I've piled up on this. And it just, whenever you get an opportunity, it's just kind of like clear stuff out of there and watch it. So I was like, you know what? I've got this unexpected free time now this afternoon. I could do something productive. I'm going to clear my wrestling watch later list on YouTube, because what's more productive than that? So I clicked into it and I was like, oh yeah, the Timothy Thatcher match that everyone was saying was really good. That's what I want to watch. Obviously, kind of coming off a bit of a Timothy Thatcher high from World Tag Team League, I was like, let's do it. Let's fire this up. And immediately, and we'll talk about 3-2-1 battle and the atmosphere to show in a bit, but immediately I was like, I was into it. I was like, this is cool. This is well shot. I'm excited for this. Let's see Togi Makabe's son here coming out. Oh, this doesn't look like Togi at all. And then you guys start having the match, and instantly it hooked me. And right throughout the match, I was just digging it the whole way through. And as I said, it builds to a great finish, which is really well done. And I think people will enjoy it. So I highly recommend everyone checks it out. But the post-match, talk a little about that and what that meant with Timothy Thatcher getting on the mic and really giving you some serious appreciation and then presenting you with his Ringkampf scarf. So I would take it that's something that is a prized possession for you now going forward.
It 100% is. It's definitely not a cool look in the pro wrestling industry to be a mark for someone else. And I think you need to carry yourself with a certain professionalism, regardless of what level of the industry you work within. But I make no bones about it that I'm genuinely a fan of certain wrestlers. And I think anyone in the industry would be lying if they said they weren't. So, I am genuinely a fan of the work that Timothy Thatcher does. And I let him know that I asked him if he had brought scarves to sell. And I'm not one to, I don't buy wrestling merchandise typically. I spend most of my money on records and band merchandise, as I kind of hinted earlier. And he let me know that he did have scarves for sale. And I said, okay, great. Make sure you put one aside for me. Left it at that. To show how dedicated to the craft he is, when it was decided upon kind of the story that we were telling and how we were going to really put the shine on me as kind of the local hometown hero, and he was kind of the invading, force kind of thing, he refused to go out and sell merchandise before the show or during intermission. He didn't want anyone to see him until he came out for the match. And,
wow.
And that's potentially a lot of money that he cost himself because, in order to put over a story, basically, and to properly tell the story as we saw fit. So, so the fact that he wasn't bringing the scarves out to sell, I said, okay, remember to put one aside for me. What you see post-match with the words he said and him giving me the scarf is all, I did not know that was going to happen. That is genuine emotion on my face. If anyone knows me, knows that, like I said, I shed a tear at the finish of Hero Thatcher. And I shed more than a few tears at the finish of myself and Thatcher. And that was just kind of a dump of this is over and this is something that I accomplished. And this is, this is a symbol, basically, of this moment. If no one ever watches a match of mine on YouTube again, if I never go on to do anything else, this is something that was a goal of mine that I set that I was able to achieve. And this is a symbol that I'll always have, reminding me of that goal. So it was pretty amazing for me, but I know there was more than one people who were in attendance. I have friends in the online Twitterverse, the wrestling media, who told me they cried when they watched the post-match. And that's amazing to me. So I appreciate it.
Well, it was quite the moment. It was quite the match. And everyone go check it out on the 3-2-1 battle YouTube page. I'll give my impressions of this promotion first off, and then Daniel, you can maybe fill in some of the blanks for me and for the listeners about where the promotion came from and where we can see more of it and how we can support it. But when I, it was really, it was like a mix of a lot of things. It really kind of had, especially with the type of match that was happening, it really had like an underground fight club kind of feel with the match you and Tim were having. But a super hot crowd in a really, like, it seemed like it was in a trendy bar. It was like a mix between, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but there was, I think it might have been Melbourne Championship Wrestling, the Australian promotion that has some videos that went and did quite a lot of hits on YouTube last year with hardcore matches featuring Ronald McDonald, and a guy legitimately dressed as Ronald McDonald, and then these other people wearing these crazy costumes that were like dressed as old, like old people, and like these are the most insane hardcore matches I've ever seen. Well, that might be an exaggeration, but they were pretty insane, and they had live commentary going throughout it, and just the way it was shot and just the craziness of the spectacle really reminded me of the way our 3-2-1 battle kind of reminded me of that, with the way there was the live commentary over the speakers and just the way your match was shot. I thought it came off really well. It was different. It was unique. The crowd were all bunched around the ring like a WXW show, and you had the feel of that. And then a little like the XWA show I went to in London this year, which had the Keith Lee Sekimoto match, which was literally in I wouldn't say like underground, but like under rail track kind of a venue, just jammed all these people in, super hot, and it was just a crazy atmosphere. It was like a blend of all these things, and I was just and really well shot and produced on video. The video looks great on YouTube. It's really good quality. So yeah, all that stuff made me want to see more of 3-2-1 Battle, and you mentioned Jeff Cobb being there. I'd like to see some of the stuff that he did there and see some of the stuff that you guys do going into the new year. So fill in the blanks for me. Tell me a bit about where this promotion came from, how long it's been around for, and where we can find out and see more of it.
I'll try to make this as concise as I can. So 3-2-1 Battle has always kind of been the redheaded stepchild of the Northwest professional wrestling scene. There's a lot of legislation for wrestling in Washington State. I don't really have time to go into it right now because I'm sure it'll bore people to tears. But 3-2-1 was kind of birthed out of a lot of local guys, kind of a ragtag group of guys wanting to wrestle and tell the stories that they want to tell, and kind of having to go about it the way that they did. So we've been running that facility for, it'll be 3 years this coming December. Like I said, every other Friday night, and I'd say we put an average of 250 people in there. It's actually a gym. There's we have to kind of tear down the punching bags and all the mats and everything before a show.
That's crazy. It really looks like a bar.
Well, we've got a full liquor license and a full bar in there too. And
okay.
Actually,
well,
one of the fun things that is whenever we have kind of guest stars, for lack of a better term, the bar does themed drinks for whoever the wrestler is in town, in addition to some of the themed drinks that are permanently on the menu for a lot of the local guys. So the night before, they asked Timothy Thatcher, if you were to have a drink, what would you want your drink to be? You know, what kind of liquor would be in it, et cetera, et cetera. So it's just a real fun atmosphere. A lot of our fans are not pro wrestling fans, or they didn't start off as pro wrestling fans. 3-2-1 Battle was just kind of a thing where we were drawing 100, maybe 125 people a night. It was a part of their evening plans. Yeah, we'll go watch some wrestling matches, and then we'll go to the club, or we'll go see a band play afterwards. Like I said, the gym is actually kind of underground. There's two bars and one concert venue directly on top of it. A lot of our fans, after the show is over, they'll go up to the bar, or they'll go see a band play. A lot of the wrestlers will go up there and hang out with the fans afterwards too. So very similar vibe to WXW from what it sounds like. I've never been to Oberhausen, but we, like I said, we started off with people that I wouldn't call traditional pro wrestling fans, and they have become, you know, our most diehard fans that are there every 2 weeks and are invested in our characters. And like you kind of hinted at, we do have like kind of a wacky array of characters. That was sort of the calling card for 3-2-1 Battle for a long time. And in recent memory, the last year or two, we've been kind of building up, bringing in some more local talent that have a little more pedigree, have some more skills. And, you know, the younger guys are learning from the new crop of guys. Additionally, anytime we bring in any kind of outside talent, we're getting them to do seminars, training our young guys, and, you know, trying to build within from within and build the community and the scene up. There's been a real renaissance of professional wrestling in Washington State. There's now Defy, which have been running for the last year, and they're kind of running the more super indie model. They do use some local talent, but a lot of it is fly-ins. But they honestly built up a lot of what their infrastructure is on, you know, I'll just be straight up, the guy who owns Defy used to come to 3-2-1 Battle shows and still does. And a lot of the local workers who work for Defy come to 3-2-1 Battle because, you know, regardless of whether our talent is, you know, it's not fly-in worthy talent, it's the most fun atmosphere in professional wrestling in all of the Northwest. And that's kind of become our calling card. And we're trying to become, you know, we want it to be fun, but we want the quality to be there as well. You know, we want people from around the world to watch our matches on YouTube and to subscribe to our Facebook page and to dig what we're doing. So that's kind of the long and the short of it.
Well, you guys made a great first impression on me and I think everyone else who watched that match. But maybe throw out some links, URLs, Facebook, Twitter, the YouTube page, anything you have to hand that can direct people towards it.
Everything, as far as I know, is 3-2-1 Battle exclamation mark. That is how we are officially branded. We've got
the Twitter. That's like the Twitter name is exactly as you said it, but then the at is just 3-2-1 Battle, no hyphens, no exclamation.
Sure, and I think
it's easy to find.
Instagram's the same way. Facebook. If you follow our Facebook page, we live stream the shows every other Friday night for free. So by all means, check that out. I know we have had some discussion of maybe looking at Twitch for an option as we start to grow for streaming our shows. Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter, our YouTube channel. We upload literally every single match that occurs with the following week, you know, as we break it down match by match for the card. So you can, you know, if you have a particular favorite wrestler or, you know, like I said, we've brought Jeff Cobb in, I think 2 or 3 times now, you can pinpoint those Jeff Cobb matches. Same thing. Joey Ryan has worked for our shows multiple times. It's a wrestling variety hour. The Timothy Thatcher match was not the norm for 3-2-1 Battle. And it's funny because even the live announcers, which I normally do not like live announcers in a pro wrestling setting, but they're a part of our show and they're a part of kind of our brand and our identity. And they help drive the storylines and they help put a lot of the what's going on in the ring over to people who might be attending their first or second pro wrestling match ever. You know, not just 3-2-1 show. These are people who don't normally go see pro wrestling and they're becoming diehard pro wrestling fans. I know people who never went to shows before 3-2-1 who are now subscribing to New Japan World, who are now, you know, they're subscribing to the WWE Network and they're kind of, oh, pro wrestling is awesome. Like, how have I never been made aware of this before? Check us out online. We're not for everyone. It's not PWG. It's not New Japan. It's not top notch, but we're working at getting better. We're presenting an entertaining product. We have guys who are working hard and doing the best they can to get better in this wrestling world and kind of carve out our niche. And we appreciate any support that we might get.
Daniel, I'm going to put you on the spot. One extra plug. Give me one match other than yours, obviously, on YouTube that I should watch from 3-2-1 Battle.
There's a guy who I've known for years, and if he lived anywhere on the East Coast or in the Midwest, he would be a name that everyone would know and would seek out. But because he lives in Coquitlam, British Columbia, no one has heard of him. His name is Caden Talbane, and he had a match with Colt Cabana back in June, the first time Cabana had been to the Northwest in 10 years. And it was a mix of, you know, Cabana, a lot of Cabana's regular comedy spots. But again, just like Thatcher, Cabana put in the work, and they had a kick-ass 20-minute match that went over like gangbusters. And that would be the match that I would point to that you should check out.
That match was on my birthday.
There you go.
As a fan of here, Cabana has it up on his YouTube channel as well. I'm trying to find it on your. I'm sure it's there somewhere, but when I did the search, it came up on Cabana's the full match. But it's there. I'm sure it's on the 3-2-1 battle page as well. But I am going to check that out as a big Colt Cabana fan that I am. And Daniel, I'm looking forward to hearing more about this promotion going into the new year. I hope it continues to grow for you guys. I hope it continues to get more eyeballs. And I hope we continue to see you popping up with some interesting matchups and maybe even being able to spread your wings and go into different places. Because not to kiss up to you being on my show, but I was very impressed with you in that match with Timothy Thatcher, and hope to see more of you. So it was great talking to you, and it was great having you on here for the show. And I really enjoyed doing it, so much so that I'm making this a free show and putting it out there for everyone to listen to, and hopefully get you guys a bit more exposure. And we'd love to have you back on here on the DKP some point to talk about, I don't know, maybe some 2000s New Japan and the Shinya Makabe in the future.
That would be awesome. And this has been, you know, not to kiss up to you, but I've been an Observer subscriber for since the website went live, basically, the F4W.
Oh, wow.
And
back in June 2005.
I think I was April 2006. So,
wow.
So yeah. And I love the
DKP. I think that's when AMO version 1 came on board.
I love the DKP, and I've always secretly wanted to be a guest on it. So I'm glad that I had the opportunity to do so. And I'm glad that you are here to help spread the gospel that is pro wrestling. So thank you very much for the opportunity.
Well, it is my pleasure, and hope everyone enjoyed listening to this. As I said, it's a free show, so if you're here listening and you're not a subscriber, please check out everything else we have on offer here at WrestlingObserver.com. I don't have to run down the list. You know what's here, the Observer newsletter and everything else that is available on this website. There's so much content, more than you could ever get through in a month when you dig into the archives. So please check it out, subscribe, and enjoy. So until the next time here on the DKP, I've been Alan. Daniel Makabe has been Daniel Makabe, and we have enjoyed chatting. And Daniel, unless you have anything else to plug, we are going to get on out of here.
Sounds good to me. Let's hear that outro music.
Excellent. All right. Bye, everybody.
本当にそれだけ。そんなもんは後からついてくるだろう。何がしたくてどこへ行きたいか、それが重要。お前らしさ見失うな、諦めたら終了。この心の片隅にしまう夢がある。それは誰も知らぬ間にひっそりと。その小さな目は何があってもつまないで、力強く焦らず急げ未来。 Stack up that